意思。Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Chaitanya Charitamrita class. And today we are very fortunate to have with us His Grace Sachi Pran Gaura Hari Prabhuji to enlighten on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela from 20.36 onwards. Hare Krishna, Sachi Pran Gaurav, Hari Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your very precious time and association this morning and enlightening on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. I hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, we cannot hear you, Prabhu. No, Prabhu.
Maybe audio settings, Prabhu, near the mute button, if you can check.
Still no, Prabhu. No.
Sachi Prabhu, not able to hear you.
ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀನಿವಾಸ ಆದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಎವ್ರಿವನ್ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಫಾರ್ ಜಾಯ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಫಾರ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಮಿ ದಿಸ್ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಎಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಟುಡೇ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಏಕಾದಶಿ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಡೇ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದ month of Chaturmas. It's a very auspicious time, and especially we are talking from Chaitanya Charitamrita and specifically Shiksha Ashtakam, the topmost teachings of the Supreme Lord Himself. My sincere and respectful obeisances and humble obeisances to all the devotees on the call. We'll start with the Mangalacharan prayers. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾಮಯ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪಲಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತ ಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಕ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗನ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಾಂತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾತ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗನ ಲಲಿತ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರೂಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯಿತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮಿನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೌಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಂಗಿ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಾಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೆ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಹರೇರ್ನಾಮ ಹರೇರ್ನಾಮ ಏವ ಕೇವಲಂ ಕಲೌ ನಾಸ್ತೇವ 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 ಗತಿರನ್ಯತಾ ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಗಾಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ ಕೃಪಾ ತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂ ದೀನತಾರಿಣಂ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಈಶ್ವರಂ Hare Krishna. Once again, I want to thank Kirtidas Nari Mataji for giving me this opportunity to speak from Chaitanya Charitamrita today. And my sincere and humble obeisances to all the devotees on the call who have assembled to hear. This subject matter is very, very high. There is no understanding or knowledge in my heart about all of this subject matter. But because I've been instructed to speak, I will try to speak whatever I've heard from our superiors. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, the last chapter, chapter 20, verse 36. Nayanam Galadashru Dharaya Vadanam Gadgada Ruddaya Gira Pulakair Nichitam Vapukata Tavanama Grahane Bhavishyati. This is the sixth verse from the Shikshashtakam prayers that we recite every day. Translation: My dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs on my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? Verse 37. So we'll cover three verses today. Verse 37. Prema dana vina vyarta daritra jivana dasa kori vetana more deha prema dana. Translation: Without love of Godhead, my life is useless. Therefore, I pray that you accept me as your servant and give me the salary of ecstatic love of God. So here we understand what is daridra. Generally in the material world, daridra is referred to somebody who does not have any wealth, any property, economically, if they are not stable, if they are poor, then they are considered to be daridra. But then here we see from this verse, what is real daridra? Real daridra is without love of Godhead. One who does not have bhakti, one who does not have love for Krishna, that is daridra. Verse 38. Rasantara veshe hoila viyoga spurana udvega vishada danye kare pralapana. Translation: Separation from Krishna evoke various mellows of distress, lamentation and humility. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a crazy man. So this verse helps us understand the state, the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke these verses. And also the physical transformation, the bodily transformation that Mahaprabhu is requesting the Lord to bestow upon him, we understand from this verse. It is the separation. It is the separation from Krishna is what is causing these emotions or these humility, the lamentation that Mahaprabhu is expressing. So we'll start our discussion. I'll give a brief overview of the Shikshashtakam prayers, and then we will try to study or discuss a little bit in detail. Again, this verse is so deep. The subject matter itself is so deep. So 1 hour will not be sufficient, but I'll try to cover as much as I can recollect and remember. The first verse in Shikshashtakam, the Cheto Darpana verse, our acharyas explain that it talks about Sambandha. The holy name awards or bestows bliss. The second verse also talks about relationship, that the holy name has so much nectar, but still I don't have any extra attraction. So Mahaprabhu first talks about Sambandha. We know there are three: Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. So the first and the second verse talk about Sambandha. And then from Sambandha, we go to Abhideya. The third verse and the fourth verse, Trinada Pishunichena, and then Naranam Najanam Nasundarim, and then the fifth verse also, Ainanda Tanujakinkaram. These three talk about Abhideya. The process that we have to follow to revive our relationship with Krishna. See, first two verses help us understand that we should have the relationship, or there is a relationship. Jivera Swarupahoi Nityara Krishna Das. So we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. That Sambandha is established in the first and second verse. Now that we know that there is a relationship, how do we revive that relationship? That is explained in, that is Abhideya, that is explained in third, fourth and fifth. The third verse specifically talks about the mood that we have to have so we can chant the holy name. The mood that we should imbibe to be able to chant the holy name constantly. That is talking about the quantity. How can we chant more? How can we chant continuously? So that reviving the relationship or reviving the chanting, to be able to continuously chant, that is talked in the verse 3. And verse 4 and 5, which are also Abhideya, which help us revive our relationship, mainly focus on the feelings, like how we should chant, what is the which talks about basically the quality of the chanting, that we are not desiring anything. Please bestow mercy upon me, you know, the mood, the with which we should chant, or the quality of chanting is expressed in 4 and 5. So if we chant good quantity and with good quality, following the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then what will happen? We will attain the result. If we till the land, if we sow the seeds properly, if we water the farm properly, and if we protect the farm properly, then what will happen? We will get a good crop. Similarly, if we establish our relationship, if we revive our relationship, then we will also get a result. And what is the result? That is the prayojan, prema prayojan. Our result of our sadhana, of our bhajan, is prema, love of Godhead. That is our ultimate result. That is prayojan. And the verses 6, 7 and 8 of Shikshashtakam talk about prayojan. Mahaprabhu explains prayojan in verses 6, 7, and 8. And again, in this 6, 7, and 8, our acharyas explain that there are three gifts that are given through this 6, 7, and 8. Verse 6, which we will study today, the gift that we get from the verse 6 is bliss. And verse 7 explains about the separation. In the verse 38, we were seeing that separation from Krishna evoke the various mellows in the heart of Mahaprabhu. So that separation is in 7th verse. 7th verse talks about separation. And finally, verse 8, the gift that we get from verse 8 is love. which will be covered in the future session. 7 and 8 will be covered in the future sessions. So today we are talking about verse 6. So this is one way our acharyas explained the Shikshashtakam, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan. And Shikshashtakam is also explained in another way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically, he explains that the first 5 verses of Shikshashtakam primarily talk about sadhana bhakti. And then from 6th verse onwards, 6, 7 and 8, they talk about bhava and prema. And this verse specifically, verse 6 is the transition verse to bhava. This verse marks the transition. So in sadhana bhakti, when we perform our sadhana, how do we do our sadhana? We mainly do our sadhana based on the instructions we receive from our senior devotees. Either it can be our Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru or our superiors who are guiding us in the process of bhakti, or generally any devotees that we see in our congregation who we get inspired by, we take some instructions from them, and that is our primary motivation. Let's say, for example, when I join ISKCON newly, let's say if I'm a newcomer to ISKCON, then what do I look for? I see what the other people are doing, what the other devotees are doing. And then that encourages me, that motivates me. If somebody is chanting 4 rounds, let's say if a lot of people in the group are chanting 4 rounds, then immediately I feel, you know, that 4 rounds is, everyone is chanting, so I should also try to chant 4. So that is the motivation. The motivation is coming largely from the instructions of our surrounding senior devotees. And we know sadhana bhakti has 2 parts, Vaidhi and Raganuga. So the first 5 verses, they glorify the holy name, how purifying the holy name is. And also they glorify the cultivation of certain intentions like humility, renunciation. You know, these are some of the emotions or the intentions that are glorified in the first 5 verses. So this is another way in which our acharyas explain the Shikshashtakam. One is Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, that is one classification. And another classification is Sadhana and then Bhava and Prema. So this is another way Shikshashtakam is explained. So they talk about Sadhana stage to Prema stage. So if you see, Srimad Bhagavatam has 10,000 verses. Bhagavad Gita has 700 verses. But Mahaprabhu, who is the most merciful incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he knew that in Kali Yuga, people are not smart, they are not intelligent, they are not devotionally oriented, they are not sattvic. So for somebody to take an extra step to study the entire Bhagavatam or the entire Bhagavad Gita, not just read, study, internalize the concepts, the instructions given in these scriptures, is difficult. So Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, he gave Shikshashtakam, just 8 verses. He summarized everything, all the scriptures, all the instructions, all the knowledge, everything that one has to know on the path of bhakti. Mahaprabhu simply summarized all of them in just 8 verses. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the qualities of the Lord is mentioned as Gambhir, one who is grave. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is Gambhir, and one of the reasons why Krishna is Gambhir is because he speaks less and he conveys a lot of meaning. Generally, people like speaking a lot, right? They prajalpa, they talk unnecessarily. Everyone, even in the devotee circle also, we have that desire to speak. But what desire we have to speak? We have the desire to speak Harikatha. We are always eager to, speak Harikatha. If somebody is ready to hear, the devotees have an intense desire to speak Harikatha. So Mahaprabhu, he knew that the age of Kali Yuga is so degraded, the people in the Kali Yuga are so degraded that they will not have time or ability to grasp all of the scriptures. So he condensed everything and he gave Shikshashtakam. So that is why Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, he is, one of his names is Grave, Gambhir. He speaks less and conveys a lot of meaning. And that we can see specifically in the incarnation of Mahaprabhu. So this verse talks about Nayanam Kaladashtu Dharaya. When will there be streams of tears from my eyes? And then the second line says, Vadanam Gadgada Ruddaya Gira. My throat choke up. When will my throat choke up? Pulakaya Nichitam Vapu Kada. When will the hairs on my body stand? Tavanama Grahane Bhavishyati. When will all of this happen as I chant your holy names? So here the word Bhavishyati means in the future. Bhavishyavani, we hear Bhavishya. Bhavishya, you know, future, foretelling. So this Bhavishyati means when will this happen in the future? As I chant your holy names, when will these manifestations happen in my body? So in our spiritual journey, if we see, some devotees are born into the process of bhakti. So what I'm saying now is not applicable to them. But generally for most devotees, most people that join any religious organization, the spiritual journey can be classified in three stages. The first stage is the beginning stage, where the type of questions that are asked are like, what is this? What is this process? What is this chanting? What is this deity? What is this offering? You know, those are the questions. What? What is Mangalarati? Those are the questions that come up in the beginning of our spiritual journey. And then as we make progress, the questions change. The questions will be how and why. Generally, the questions that come as we make progress on the path of bhakti are how and why. How should I chant? I'm chanting now, but how should I chant to improve my chanting so that I can develop taste in chanting? How do I do the offering properly? Earlier, I was just putting the boga in front of Krishna and just chant Hare Krishna and leave. But what is the right process? How do I really offer? And then why? The questions of why. Like, why only Krishna? Why not demigod worship? You know, why not chant some other names? You know, the questions of why come up as we make progress. And in the final stage, the questions will be when. When will it be my turn? When will Krishna bestow mercy upon me so that I can do devotional service purely? When can I chant the taste? When will I get the taste of the holy name? When will I see Radha Krishna? And questions like what Mahaprabhu is asking in this verse. When will my ears, my eyes be filled with tears? When will my throat choke up? You know, when will the hairs on my hand stand erect? So these are the type of questions that come in the final stage of our spiritual journey. So we started off with chanting. Good quantity of chanting and good quality of chanting. So that is the starting. And that will lead to emotions for the Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that the goal of Shravanam and Kirtanam, chanting and hearing, is Smaranam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So we chant and hear so that we can remember Krishna. This chanting and hearing, these are not dry processes. They are not isolated and standalone processes. if we are not able to remember Krishna, or if we are not able to develop the desire to remember Krishna, then there is something wrong in our quality and quantity of chanting. So we have to work on that first. And why do we have to remember Krishna? Why do we have to have emotions for Krishna? We need to have emotions for Krishna because that will help us remember Krishna. See, we see in our day-to-day life also. I have a boss at work and I have a son at home. So during my day, I remember both of them. I remember my boss and I remember my son also. But who will I cherish remembering? I will definitely cherish remembering my son, because there are emotions involved in that relationship. Emotions like love, you know, happiness, thinking of what my son does, you know, those joy, those emotions are there. That is why we will cherish remembering our near ones. I'm giving a mundane example to help understand the subject matter. But let's say if it was my boss, I don't cherish remembering my boss. My boss, I remember him only because I have to complete my deliverable. I will cherish remembering my son because there are emotions involved in the relationship with my son. Emotions of love, happiness, you know, fear for his safety. So those are the emotions involved. So that is why I cherish remembering my son. So that is why emotions are important. If we don't have emotions, and if it is only externals, then the process will become dry at that point. So in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about three types of expressions. He's not talking about emotions yet. He's only talking about expressions. Expressions like streams of tears from eyes. So this expression is visual. Let's say if somebody is crying, we can see the tears from their eyes. So that is a visual expression. And then second, he talks about throat choking up. So throat choking up, that is a verbal. We can hear when somebody is talking, and let's say if they're choking, for whatever reason, either their throat is dried up or they have some food stuck in their throat. For whatever reason, if they're choking, we can hear. We may not be able to, by seeing, we may not be able to understand that choking. But by hearing, we will be able to understand that somebody is choking. So this is a verbal expression. So the first is visual, second is verbal. And then the third one, Mahaprabhu talks about bodily hairs standing at the end, which is physical. You know, it is a physical transformation, because the body where the hairs are not standing originally or standing, that is a physical transformation. So these are the three types of expressions only. These are not emotions yet. These are all expressions. And how do these expressions come up? These expressions come up only when there are intense emotions. Right? Only when we have intense emotions, we will be able to express these expressions. These expressions that Mahaprabhu is talking about can happen only when there are intense emotions. So Mahaprabhu is actually, though on the surface it looks like he is asking for these expressions of eyes filled with tears, or throat choking up, or hair standing on the end. Though he's talking about these expressions, but actually he is asking Krishna to give him those intense emotions, which will lead to these physical expressions. And the emotions, if we study, the emotions can come from various, can come because of various reasons. If we see, for example, let's say if a child is hurt, then the mother immediately cries. It is natural. the mother, the first person that will feel hurt is the mother, right? And most of the times the mother will cry also. Why is that happening? Because the mother has deep affection for the child. Because of the affection that the mother has for the child, the mother cries. Tears are coming from the eyes of the mother. Similarly, we see even in Bhagavad Gita also, Arjuna also had similar emotions in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. We see Arjuna says that, O Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me to fight, they are ready to lay down their lives for Duryodhan. Arjuna says that my limbs are shaking and my mouth is drying up. And he says my whole body is trembling. And he also says that the hair is standing. My bodily hair is standing. And he also says Gandiva is slipping from my hand. That is like a defeat for Arjuna. So these bodily symptoms that we see in Arjuna, or if we see, they're similar to what Mahaprabhu is also asking. But the symptoms that Arjuna is exhibiting are not due to the love that he had for Krishna, or it is not due to the love that he had for the relatives, but instead it is because of the compassion, misdirected compassion. Arjuna was overwhelmed with compassion, looking at his friends and relatives. And Arjuna was thinking of the effect, the disastrous effect that the war could have on both the Kauravas and the Pandavas army, because a lot of people will die in that battle. Arjuna knew that if the war happened, a lot of people will die. Crores of people will die. And also Arjuna knew that majority of them will be killed in the hands of Arjuna, because Arjuna is the best warrior on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he knew that most of the people will be killed by Arjuna. So with all of these thoughts in his mind, Arjuna was overwhelmed with compassion. He was seeing so many signs of negative signs from the battle, and he had this physical transformation. So the intense emotions, so the physical transformations are due to our emotions, intense emotions. It's not just simple, superficial emotions. It is intense emotions. Like even, you know, not all mothers cry when their child gets hurt, right? Only some mothers cry. All mothers will feel sad, but the effect, the deep, intense crying type of expression is seen only in those mothers who are very deeply connected to their children. And especially it is towards the youngest child. The youngest child, there is more affection given to the youngest child. So in a family, if the youngest child gets hurt, the parents, naturally they feel more hurt. So the intense emotions come from various sources or due to various reasons. And they will lead to the physical transformation. They will lead to the physical effect on the body. And sometimes if the emotions are extreme, the body will not be able to handle and the person will faint. So let's say if somebody hears that somebody is, you know, a relative is injured or a relative passed away, you know, that causes a great shock, and the body, mind may not be able to handle it. At a physical level, we may not be able to handle, and the person may go into an unconscious state. Even when there is a heart attack or when there's a deep emotional mental strike on somebody, at that time they may go into an unconscious state. So on a lighter note here, I was hearing one lecture in which Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was saying that when we take darshan of the Lord, it seems we are supposed to faint. Like how Mahaprabhu, when he saw Jagannath, he fainted. You know, so when we also take darshan of the Lord, the deity of the Lord, we should also faint. But we do not. Why? Because we don't have the intense emotions for Krishna. So that is why we are advised at least to fall flat in front of Krishna and pay respectful obeisances to our Guru Maharaj, to Krishna. So let's go back to the verse. So why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praying for external manifestation? Right? Why is Mahaprabhu praying for external manifestation? Because generally, if we see, we should ask for love. Why should we ask for external manifestation of love? Right? So actually, our acharyas explain that Mahaprabhu is not asking just for the external manifestation. Mahaprabhu is actually praying for the inner emotions that will lead to the external manifestation. So this is a very important point to understand, that Mahaprabhu is actually praying for internal emotions. He's not praying just for the external manifestation. So generally, in this material world, we appreciate people based on their externals, right? Somebody who's driving an expensive car or wearing expensive clothes, ornaments, watch, you know, looking at their externals, we appreciate them. So we consider those who exhibit external opulence to be rich. And the same in the spiritual realm also, sometimes we make a mistake. We consider those who exhibit these external symptoms to be more advanced than those who don't exhibit these symptoms. Those who don't exhibit the symptoms, we consider them to be less advanced. So this is not correct, because the internal emotions or the internals are more important than the externals. The love that we have for Krishna is internal. It need not be exhibited for others to see. It is only between us and Krishna. And one should be considered advanced based on their love for Krishna, not what they're exhibiting outside. One may express and show so much love or devotion or bhav for Krishna, but what is important is, are they following the instructions? Are they following the instructions that the Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru or the Acharyas or the scriptures are giving? That is important. More than exhibiting externals, the internals are important. Following the rules and regulations are very, very important. You see, Sri Rupa Goswami states in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidimvina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. Aikantiki, exclusive devotion. Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir, if we perform exclusive devotion to Lord Hari, and Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidimvina, without following the Vidhi established in Shruti, Smriti, Puranas and Pancharatrika, those vidhis, if we don't follow those vidhi and perform exclusive devotion to Lord Hari, then what will happen? This verse clearly says that it does not give devotion. What does it do? It causes utpat. Utpat means disturbance. It's simply a nuisance. It's simply a disturbance. And even Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Yas Shastra Vidim Utsrijya Vartate Kamakarata Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti Nasukam Na Paramgatim. Krishna says, one who discards
one who neglects or one who ignores the scriptural injunctions. Yeah, Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya. He ignores or neglects or discards the Shastra Vidhi, the Vidhi established in the Shastra. And then Vartate Kamakarata. He performs activities Kamakarata. Vartate Kamakarata, just by his whims. Whimsically, just for sense gratification, just driven by senses, Kamakarata, if one performs activities just driven by senses for the satisfaction of senses, what happens? Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti. Such a person does not attain perfection, Siddhi. He does not attain Siddhi. And Na Sukham Na Paramgatim. Such a person does not achieve happiness and does not achieve the supreme destination. Our goal in the path of bhakti, taking to this path of bhakti, joining ISKCON, becoming a member of ISKCON. Joining ISKCON is different. Becoming a member of ISKCON is different. You know, following the rules and regulations established ISKCON is, that is becoming a member of ISKCON. When we follow the rules and regulations established by Srila Prabhupada, then we are a true member of ISKCON. So for us, becoming a member of ISKCON, the reason why we become a member of ISKCON is to achieve the supreme destination. Golok Vrindavan, Krishna Prema, that is our ultimate goal. So that will happen only if we follow the rules and regulations. Yes, Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya. But if we do not follow the rules and regulations and do whatever we want, then we will not attain the supreme destination, Na Paramgatim. So we should pray that we are able to follow the rules and regulations. We should not pray for the external symptoms. We should pray for the internal feelings, internal emotions. And Krishna is also looking for internal feelings. Krishna is not looking. Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana. He takes the essence of our bhav. We may do a devotional service faultily. Let's say if we are cooking, we may by mistake add more salt, or we may add less salt. But if our attitude is to cook for Krishna, to feed Krishna nicely, then Krishna will accept the attitude of servitude. Krishna will not see the salt. Krishna will not see the more salt, or Krishna will not see the less salt. Krishna will just accept the bhava, the attitude of the devotee. I heard several times our Gurujan, our dear spiritual masters also, various times the cook, whoever was cooking for the spiritual master, added more salt or added more chili, you know, cooked in a way that was not palatable. It was not eatable. It was not pleasing. And there were spiritual masters that did not even comment. And they said it was very good. You know, they relished. Because they were seeing the bhava of the devotee, the disciple. The disciple had a sincere desire to serve. They did so much. They put in so much hard work to serve the spiritual master. And the spiritual master notices that hard effort that is put in. And there are other spiritual masters also who correct the disciple. Let's say when this is specifically, I heard this that Srila Tamala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, I heard this in one of his, a disciple was narrating Maharaj's pastimes, and he mentioned this, that when a devotee was offering less quality bhoga to the deities, Maharaj immediately chastised and corrected them. And when on another instance, when Maharaj was served very simple, low quality bhoga or prasad, Maharaj just accepted it. Maharaj did not say anything. So this disciple wondered and he inquired, Guru Maharaj, when I was serving that day, the prasadam was, the bhoga was less quality and you corrected me, you chastised me and you instructed me. But now when I am serving you with lesser quality, bhoga or prasad, you just accepted, you did not say anything. So why? Then Maharaj said that, see, there you are serving Krishna. And when we serve Krishna, it should be first quality, first class quality. But when you are serving me, for me, I will accept anything. I'm ready to accept anything that you give me. But for Krishna, we should give first class quality. So Krishna also looks for the attitude. He does not look for the salt, whether it is more or less. He does not see that. He looks at the endeavor that the devotee is putting in. And our Guru Maharaj, our spiritual masters, help us in putting the correct endeavor. We have to come up to a level where we are putting in the correct endeavor, and Krishna sees that. Krishna sees the endeavor. Krishna sees the feelings in which we are doing the seva. Krishna does not see the end result of the seva. Krishna just sees the feelings of the devotee. We may offer opulent chapan bhog, but then if we are lacking love and devotion, then unfortunately Krishna is not pleased. Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahrutam asnami prayatatmanaha. Krishna says he will accept a simple leaf, a simple flower, a simple fruit, or even simple water. And all of these are very easy to obtain. We don't have to put in much effort. They're very easy to obtain. But when will Krishna accept? Krishna says he will accept when one offers with love and devotion. We see bhakti repeating in the second line and in the third line. Yome bhaktya prayachati and then tadaham bhakti uparhutam asnami. So bhakti is important. Krishna is looking for devotion in our heart. He's not looking at the bhoga. He's looking at the love and devotion in our heart. Even Vidurani and Duryodhan also, Duryodhan offered an opulent bhoga to Krishna. Huge quantities and huge number of items Duryodhan offered. But what did Krishna do? Krishna went to Vidurani. And what did Vidurani offer? She offered the skin of banana. And Krishna lovingly accepted it, happily accepted it. And Krishna did not accept Duryodhan's offering because he did not have devotion. He lacked love for Krishna. So we have to be very careful. Why I'm highlighting these points is we have to see the internals. We have to not focus on the externals. We have to see the internals. The quality is very important. The heart, the emotions, the love, the affection, the devotion, these are important. We should not look at the externals. We should not see how nice I'm able to put my tilak, how my dhoti kurta are, how nice my kanti is. You know, those are important, but those are not very important. More important are our internals. Generally, we hear that the jiva, the conditioned soul, when he comes into this material world, because of the conditioning, because of the association with the three modes of material nature, there are four major defects. And one of them is cheating propensity. All of us have cheating propensity. And in the material platform, on the material platform, people cheat to become successful, right? Somebody may submit a fake resume to get a job. So they're trying to get a job by cheating. Somebody may try to win the elections by making false promises, right? Or they may do cast votes on behalf of other people. You know, somebody may borrow, a boy may borrow the car from one of his rich friends to impress a girl. And the girl may fall for it. So these are ways on the material platform where we cheat to show off, to become successful. Because the conditioned soul has this intrinsic propensity to cheat. So when we come to the spiritual path, there is a possibility that one may try to carry that cheating propensity. And actually, until we become purified, we will have that propensity. It's very difficult to deny that one does not have the cheating propensity and at the same time he's impure. Unless one is pure, the propensity for cheating will continue to exist in the heart. So when we come to the path of spirituality, there is a possibility that we may try to continue that cheating propensity. And how? One of the ways is to show off externally, either through, you know, symptoms, like, you know, we have so much love for Radha Krishna, or maybe, you know, more number of rounds, chanting more number of rounds and propagating that. Chanting more number of rounds is not bad. That is good. But then propagating that, you know, I chanted 4 lakh names, 10 lakh names, propagating to create a name. That is cheating. So in our spiritual circles, we hear something called as Sahajiya. So Sahajiyas are those people who exhibit spiritual emotions without having the spiritual maturity, without having the spiritual emotions. They exhibit spiritual symptoms externally. So that is what a Sahajiya is. A Sahajiya is, they exhibit symptoms, spiritual emotions, but they are not advanced internally. In the heart, they are not a devotee. The spiritual advancement is not there. So such a person is a Sahajiya. And actually, there is a lot to talk, but we have only have 5 minutes. I was told to stop at 12, so I will try to speak a little bit more for a few more minutes. So these three stages, or these three physical expressions that Mahaprabhu is talking about, it is explained that these are at the stage of bhava. We know there are 8 Ashtasattvika Vikar, 8 transformations, spiritual ecstatic transformations. And these three are part of those 8. And these three actually, our acharyas explain that these are manifested when one is on the stage of bhava. So these are spiritual transformations. But then there are, Rupa Goswami explains, there are internal symptoms also. Or there are characteristics that are also manifest in the devotee who is on the stage of bhava. So those are more important for us. The Ashtasattvika Vikar are important. But more important, at least to me, this is my understanding or my interpretation of this subject matter, that there are 9 additional characteristics that Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I feel these are more important. So I will quickly speak on these 9 and we will end the session. So these 9 characteristics that Srila Rupa Goswami mentions are Shanti. It's not Shanti, it is Kshanti. There is a K in the beginning, Kshanti. So what is Kshanti? Kshanti means, even though there is a reason for agitation, for getting disturbed, the devotee does not get disturbed. That is Kshanti. Generally, to be peaceful is a little bit easy. you know, you can do pranayam, some exercises, and you can be peaceful. You can remain peaceful. Let's say if you lose your job, maybe you can be peaceful. You know, let's say things like that happen, we may be peaceful. But let's say if somebody is scolding, is criticizing, is speaking lies of your family or of yourself, then it is very difficult to stay calm. Right? This is kshanti. If one can stay calm when there is a reason for not staying calm. Calm means peaceful. When one can stay peaceful, even when there is a reason for not being peaceful, that is kshanti. And then the second one is avyartha kalatva. Avyartha kalatva means to waste kala, to waste time in avyartha, in activities that are of no use, especially in the matter of bhakti. Any activity that is not helpful in making us progress on the path of bhakti, that is avyartha kalatva. Those activities should not be performed. A devotee does not engage in such activities. And then the third one is virakti. Virakti means detachment. Detachment from objects of sense enjoyment. And we know what is true detachment. True detachment is to engage everything in the service of Krishna. That is true detachment. So this is the third one. The fourth one is mana shunyata, pridelessness. Not, this is easy to understand, not to be proud, because as devotees, we understand that everything is coming from Krishna. Krishna is proprietor of everything. We may have $10 million in our bank account, but devotees understand that those $10 million are supplied by Krishna. Krishna is real proprietor. It may be under my name in the bank, but actually Krishna is a true proprietor. Pridelessness. And then Asha Bandha. Asha Bandha. It's not just Asha. Asha Bandha. He's bound with this hope. He has firm hope that attaining Krishna is the ultimate goal. And then he also has firm hope that Krishna will help. Krishna will surely help me. I just have to stay connected to this path of bhakti, stay connected to devotees, and success is guaranteed. That is Asha Bandha, firm hope. And then Utkanta. Sixth is Utkanta. Utkanta is eagerness, to have intense desire to achieve Krishna. And then seventh is Nama Gane Sadaruchi. This is very easy to understand. Nama Gane, chanting the holy name, taste of the holy name. Taste to chant the holy name, Sada Ruchi, to relish, Sada, ever. To relish, to relish the taste, to chant the holy name, ever. That holy name is everything. Harer Nama Eva Kevalam. This is Namagane Sada Ruchi. Eighth is Ashaktis Tat Gunakhyane. Ashakti, our attachment, should be to what? Guna Kyane. To hear and chant the guna of the Supreme Lord. The qualities, the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord. We should have deep attachment to this. And then the ninth and the final one is Preetis Tat Vasati Stale. Preeti, our affection and love should be to Vasati Stale, to the places where the Lord resides, or to the places where the Lord has performed various pastimes. Like example of where the Lord resides for us is an easy, simple and easily available example is the temple, or our own home where we are worshipping deities. That is Vasati Stale. That is where the Lord is residing. The Lord is residing wherever his devotees gather and sing or chant the holy name or speak Harikatha. That is where the Lord resides. So our home, where we have deities, where we worship every day, that is Vasati Stale. And another example of Vasati Stale is where the Lord has performed various pastimes like Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur, Navadvip Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham. Like these are all vasati stale, and we should have priti, we should have affection and love for such places. So these nine are internal. And Rupa Goswami explains that these are called as anubhava. These are nine anubhava characteristics, symptoms that are internal. And he also says that these are subordinate signs of ecstatic emotion. These nine are not physically visible. Like the Ashtasattvika Vikar, they are physically visible. Like the specific three that Mahaprabhu is asking for in this verse, hair standing at the end, tears from the eyes, throat choking up. These are physical transformations. But the Anubhava, the nine characteristics, those are internal. Those are not physically visible. These we can understand only when we associate with a devotee. So, as devotees, we should not just focus on the externals. We should also see the internals. We should see whether a devotee who is advanced is also carrying these nine characteristics or not. Is he wasting his time? It's not that we are judging. We have to, this is a very fine delineation here. We are not judging. We are trying to understand. And because we have to understand, only then we will accordingly be able to surrender ourselves. Let's say if a devotee is wasting his time, either doing prajalpa or doing spending time on the phone, WhatsApp, you know, things like that. If a devotee is wasting time, then we will not be able to surrender to such devotee. He may have been in the process for a long time, you know, but we will not be able to surrender and take instructions from such a devotee. So the reason why we are trying to understand these, whether a devotee has these symptoms or not, is so that we can surrender and we can get instructions from them. And why do we need instructions? We discussed in the beginning, we need instructions so that we can make progress. If we don't take instructions, if we try to perform aikantiki harer bhaktir, exclusive devotion, then it will only be utpat. It will only lead to disturbance. With that, actually I have more I wanted to discuss, but we will end here. Even I have to go to some meetings and I know I have to end at 12, so I will stop here. Again, once again, I thank all the devotees for listening patiently, and Kirtida Sundari Mataji and Induleka Mataji, Pritha Vilasini Mataji, for giving me this opportunity to speak. It's a very auspicious day, Ekadashi, in the Chaturmas, and I'm very, very thankful. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarupyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a wonderful class, Prabhu. It's like an introspection to our bhakti, how we are performing and what is the mood and how sincere we are doing our bhakti. There are so many examples you have provided to support this, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for giving your precious time and enlightening on the topic. And Prabhu, how much time do you have, Prabhu, for question and answers?
Mati, maybe another 10 minutes.
Okay, sure, Prabhu. Okay. Dear devotees, so if anybody are having any questions, so please raise your hands. We can take in that order. So I see Anuradha Mataji has some question. Mataji, please unmute yourself and go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, you said that those who are pretending to be something what they are not internally, externally they are showing. Are they sahajiyas or they are pretenders? Because sahajiyas, what I understand from Prabhupada's lecture, that, you know, they are not accepting the philosophy at all. They are just going, they think they are peacock, they act as a peacock, or whatever they think. They think they are gopis, they act as gopis. So that's what is easy for me to understand. But even I feel I am so many times pretending, you know, but then I don't think I am sahajiya. So would you please clear on that, Prabhuji?
You are right, Mataji. You are right. What I was trying to explain was that we have to see both the externals and the internals. And the Sahajiyas, they focus only on the externals. As devotees, as devotees, we may pretend, but we are not Sahajiyas because we are trying to follow the path. And what I was saying was that we have to see the internals also to understand. I'm not saying that devotees who are practicing and pretending, they are Sahajiyas. I'm not saying that. What I said was that Sahajiyas, they only focus on the externals. They only exhibit the external symptoms. They don't have the internals. They don't focus or they don't value the internals. They only try to exhibit the external symptoms. Like you rightly said, you know, somebody acting like a peacock. You know, they only focus on the externals, not the internals. But a devotee or a sadhaka who is on the path of bhakti, trying to purify himself, trying to achieve perfection in the path of bhakti, when they try to focus on the externals, when they try to show the externals, it is not sahajiya. It is pretending. Like you rightly said, yes, that is pretending. That is not sahajiya. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, bro. Thank you. The reason I say that, because while doing everything strictly, we fall trap. I mean, I'm talking exclusively for myself, Prabhu, because I am living with many devotees and I go to temple and the situation is like that. And sometimes, you know, when we are singing or we are speaking Krishna Katha, our words may touch some devotee and they might be senior and they can come and tell, oh, Mataji, you are so this, you are so... When we don't listen to them, we feel, oh, nobody is glorifying me. And when they glorify me, I think, oh, why are they glorifying me? So I feel I'm such a pretender. I'm just exclusively talking about myself, Prabhu. I'm not talking about anybody else. Like when they ask me to serve Bhagavatam and I serve, and they come and tell, oh, it was very nice and this, that. So, you know, till they tell me, I look for it. And as soon as they tell me, I realize what a, you know, fool I am. And I feel like a big time pretender. That's the reason, I asked Prabhu. So if I could, I mean, I am following everything that Prabhu, I mean, to the best of my, not mentally, but at least
I'm following the regulative principles and things like that. But at the same time, I do feel myself a big pretender, Prabhu. So that's the reason I asked.
Mataji, my humble opinion is that you are very advanced, because you're at least able to identify. I don't know whether you are really pretending or not, but at least you are, understanding that you are pretending. And in my case, Mataji, I don't even realize that. I know I'm pretending, but I don't even realize. And again, Mataji, the desire for recognition is innate to all, for the jiva. It is innate. It is like one of the natural propensities of a jiva. And we have to dovetail that recognition to our Guru and Krishna, that this is Krishna's nectar. Whatever we are speaking, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, scriptures, whatever we are speaking, it is Krishna's. It is, we are getting it only because of Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual masters. So we are just the via medium. So I think I heard this from, I don't recollect who I heard this from, but the devotee was explaining that we are just the via medium. So whatever we are giving, it is actually coming from higher up. And whatever we are getting, we have to give it to the higher ups only. You know, we're just like a pipe that through which the water flows. So when the material is coming from Krishna, we give it to others. And when somebody is giving us something as feedback, we again give it to Krishna. If it is something for us, say, for example, if we have to improve, we take it and we improve. But if it's, like you said, glorification, you know, then that we just pass it on to Krishna and Guru. So I think there's nothing, I mean, we have to be careful again, Mataji. You know, feedback is needed for all of us so that we can grow. But we should not look for specifically for positive feedback. We should look for feedback. Looking for feedback, there is nothing wrong. But we should not look specifically for positive feedback. Feedback helps us grow. Without feedback, it's very difficult to grow because we don't know where we are. So feedback is always important. So there's nothing wrong in expecting feedback.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. And also I seek your blessing and prayers so that I do not become either a pretender or a sahajiya, Prabhu. Thank you so much for your answer. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. I am not qualified to bless you, Mataji. I am so fallen.
But I will definitely pray for you, Mataji. You also please keep me in your prayers, Mataji. I need prayers and blessings from devotees. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. So, dear devotees, anybody have any questions? Please raise your hands.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. The class was very, very beautiful, very nicely structured. And as Supriya Mataji was telling, there was a lot of self-assessment going on in the background for everybody. So, thank you so much for a very nicely structured and presented class. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for the opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Prabhu, I could not see any raised hands. So,
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Pranams. Glories to Prabhupada. Glories to you, Prabhu. Thank you so much for, as Preeti Vilasni Mataji also said, it was such a well-presented class. And I know that you have so much more to say, but because of the time limit, you know, you stop yourself. But the class was really wonderful. And yes, we all were assessing that where we fall into. And one point that I really like is that, yes, Mahaprabhu is praying for that external, but actually he wants to intensify his internals. And definitely these Shikshashtakam verses are not for Mahaprabhu, it's for all of us. That we should also try to intensify our internals and then not worry about the externals, because externals will anyway will come, but we should at least focus on our internals. That's the best part I like in the class, Prabhu. Thank you so much for giving your valuable time and your association. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you so much, dear devotees. Prabhu, I think there are no more raised hands. And with this note, Prabhu, I would like to pay my sincere obeisances to you for giving you a very precious time this morning and enlightening and making us realize where we are in our bhakti life. Thank you so much, Prabhu. So with your permission and devotees' permission, I would end this call today. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhu bhyai vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti vaishnav vrindaki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. His grace Sachi Prana Gaur Hari Prabhu ji ki jai. Thank you so much.
Anantakoti vaishnav vrindaki jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhu ji, for such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna. Closing the call for today. Thank you everyone for joining.